All right, let's come before the Lord with this special prayer. Let's pray together. I say, come Holy Spirit, breathe into our prayers. Breathe your life in our life. Come Holy Spirit, fan the flame of love within us and draw us into the life of God. Father, Son, and the Spirit, come Holy Spirit, renew us and revive us, that in our worship and in our living, we may live a life of love for the praise and the glory of God. Amen. Someone was so inquisitive, wanting to know, what is this for? And I said, watch this space. Are you going to watch this space now, Rennie? The time has come. Yes. The text that has been read to us has prompted me to think on these lines. There is an old English which says, don't judge a book by its cover. Woo! My English is improving. That's the right one, isn't it? So most Christians, they've come to this notion of saying the doubting Thomas. But the original writing didn't say, stop doubting. He said, stop unbelieving. So we've now come to the, it's becoming a phrase among the Christian family. Doubting Thomas. You are doubting like Thomas. Before we also go to that phrase that I have just told you, stop judging the book by its cover, we want to discover together today why this Thomas is so special in this text. Okay? Samuel, please come here. Rennie, we want to complete your question now. Come here. Good morning, my brother. Good morning, my sister. We have known each other for quite a long time now. Right? We've known each other for quite a long time now. Right, I've got this special thing today. I want to demonstrate to the church that you trust me. Okay? And you trust me as well. Rennie wants to prove that she trusts me. Samuel has already proved that he trusts me and what I've said. Okay, I've got this line here. I'll start with you, Samuel. Ignore the health and safety rules, okay? No, it works that way. Because sometimes if you, children wouldn't even play in the playground if you always want to stick to the health and safety rules, isn't it? Because children like to throw things at each other. But health and safety rules doesn't want that. So I'll kind of ask you to walk on this rope. Because you trusted me. It's Rennie who didn't trust me. But right? Somebody is saying the ambulance has got to be ready before he walks on there. Rennie, what's your idea? Not on here?
Not up there. Down there I will.
All right. Okay. So, you've proved that you don't trust what I am asking you to do. Right. Samuel wants an ambulance to be here. Okay? Right. Right. Samuel, you don't need an ambulance. All you need is you are convinced you can do it. Right? This is how we'll do it. Okay? Rennie doesn't trust me at all. But he trusts me, he wants an ambulance. Okay? I didn't say walk with your legs. You can walk with your hands. Yes? That's believing you can do it. Rennie categorically says no. She wants this on the floor. So she doesn't believe me. But you believe me. Okay? That's the point I wanted to demonstrate. That tight rope there, you need to convince someone to believe you that you can walk on it. Okay? So you can sit down, please. Watch that space. Thomas, the Bible says he was a twin. In Greek, they called him Didymus, meaning that he was a twin. But we are not told the other things the other twin was doing. We only know of this Thomas. And it's only John, the writer of John, who is describing this Thomas. So there is some specific things that we need to pick together today that has enabled me to say my sermon today, remove all limitations. That's my theme. Remove all limitations in your life. Right? The first thing that I want all of us to discover this morning is that John, Thomas, John is saying he is the only brave disciple of Jesus. He's the only one. Why am I saying so? When you go to the book of John, earlier on, we hear that in John 11 verse 16, there was a message that was sent to Jesus by two sisters, Mary and Martha. They send a message to Jesus. Master, our brother has died. Come. I remember when we were growing up, we were singing this chorus, if you were here, my brother was not going to die. So they send a message to Jesus. When Jesus got the message, he delayed till Lazarus died. Okay? So, in that text, we hear that it's only Thomas who said, fellas, let's go with him so that we can die with him. No other disciple has ever been written to utter those words is Thomas. So that's why I said to you, stop judging a book by its cover. The writers might have misled us and removing what was said in the original text and placing it in the NIV as the doubting Thomas. Jesus didn't say to him, stop doubting. He said, stop unbelieving and believe. So Thomas is the only disciple who says, let's go and die with him. Wow. The only disciple who got closer to that was Peter. In Mark, Peter says, they may all fall away, but not me. You already know the story now, what happened to Peter, isn't it? They all took off. Even Thomas was not there when Jesus was being crucified. The Bible also says, there's a fella who ran away without clothes. He was running away from those who wanted to persecute Jesus. But this Thomas is a brave one. He's a man who said, let's go and die with him. Are you that brave today to be prepared to die for Jesus? Or you're going to be one of those who are going to be the first to bolt out of the church? I was told one story some other time. People were in a church like this, and someone bolted through the door holding an AK-47 rifle. And he said, all those who believe in Jesus, can you put your hands up? The church went dead quiet like a grave. And one voice said, it's him who's been preaching about Jesus, so he must raise his hand. They were pointing to the minister. So which means they were all not convinced that they can die for Jesus. So if someone was to bolt in this church holding an AK rifle, are you going to raise up your hand and say you belong to Jesus? Are you ready to die for Jesus? Do you know that there is abuse of that freedom that Jesus has given us? In this country, we are free to worship. In other countries, if you are found reading the Bible or preaching about Jesus, you're killed. There's another thing that I also want to point. When Jesus has been buried, the disciples were in one room. I don't know what they were discussing. But the Bible says they were in one room, bolted, locked, because they were afraid of the Jews. Only one person was missing. Disregard Judas Iscariot, because he was dead by then anyway. So the other 10 disciples were in this room, but Thomas was missing. The Bible doesn't tell us why was he missing. I want to point one thing on there. Because Jesus has been buried, is now resurrected. The idea there is, the idea is to remain united. Amen? Jesus has died and is now resurrected. It doesn't mean to say we've got to be scattered. We should remain united, even if we've got our different politics that is cropping up. We should remain united. Hence, Thomas is teaching us that it's not good to depart from the other fellow disciples. Amen? So we must remain together, united, waiting for the return of the Lord. Yes, the Holy Spirit is here living with us, but Jesus will come back again. Is he going to find you departed from the other disciples because if you are thinking of different politics? No. Are you going to depart from us because we don't sing your favorite hymns? No. Are you going to depart from us because we don't do what you want? We should stay together and discuss things together as disciples of Jesus. Number two. But before I go to point number two, I want to tell you also that he is a credible witness. Hear this. In verse 26, what does it say in verse 26? A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Has your life missed peace? Jesus is saying to you, "Peace be with you, because I am there for you." With the doors bolted in your life, you think, "Well, I'm in despair. Nothing is working in my life." Jesus is standing on your heart and is saying, "Peace be with you." We might be calculating things happening in our lives. They are not going the way we want them to happen. Wait upon the Lord. He is the one who is going to help you. He's the one who is going to bring peace to you. Are the doors bolted in your life that things are not going the way you want? Jesus is going to open them for you. Irrespective of how much the doors have been closed. The Bible says, when he opens the doors, no one can close them. When he closes, no one can open them. So Thomas is pointing to us that even if the doors are closed, Jesus will open them. Amen. Irrespective of how much they are bolted, Jesus is going to open them and bring that peace that you need. Irrespective of whatever you are doing or whatever you need, peace is going to come through the name of Jesus. Then point number two that I want to raise to you is Thomas was expecting a lot of things to happen. We do expect things to happen in our lives as well, isn't it? Sometimes we look and say, "Well, those non-believers, their lives are far much better than us." Let me tell you today, those who don't believe in Jesus Christ, they don't have the Holy Spirit living in them. Amen? Isn't that an advantage? So, don't ever compare yourself and say, "Well, I'm worse off than those non-believers." You are better off because the Holy Spirit is living in you. Amen? But one other thing also, why was Thomas not within the group? Maybe he was frustrated. As a person who was expecting Jesus to die and resurrect, he didn't anticipate it to happen this way. Because he wanted it to happen his way. That was not God's way. Your life is timed on God's way, not your way. Amen? Doesn't he say in Jeremiah, "I knew you before you were even born"? That's my God. So never want life to go your way. Let your life go God's way. Thomas is pointing us today that it's about God's way. Are you living your life according to God's way? If you are not, Thomas is saying, "My brother, my sister, change your ways." Because Jesus knew what was going to happen anyway. So Thomas, as a person who was traveling with Jesus, for 3 years, they were traveling together. Within Jesus' ministry, he saw everything. Those who were healed, those who were resurrected. He even saw when Lazarus was raised from the dead. He even saw those who were healed, who were not feeling well. But where now did he miss it? I think some of the things that carries us away, we always compare ourselves with our neighbors who don't even know the Lord. I beg you, compare yourself with people who know the Lord. Because those are the best examples that you need to exemplify your lives with them. Now, come the most important thing. John doesn't tell us whether Thomas was genuine or not when he said, I want to put my hands in the nail marks or on his side. The Bible doesn't say so. Whether he was genuine or he was kidding. But there is something that I want all of us to learn today. We all have now come to the notion of calling Thomas a doubter. Let's remove that notion of saying a doubter. In my Bible, 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 21 says this, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. That's according to the New Living Translation. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 21, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. Don't we think Thomas wanted to test whether this was genuine? Because scripture says so. Test everything to see if it was true. Maybe he wanted proof that this was the really Jesus who is resurrected. The story of the resurrection of Jesus earlier on in chapter 20 verses 1 to 6 there, we find Mary rushed to the tomb. And when she got there, there was a man standing there. She was not convinced it was Jesus. She thought it was a gardener. And when Jesus said, don't hold on me, I haven't gone to my father yet. And Jesus called her name. She realized it was Jesus. What about Peter and John? We hear that Peter and John ran to the tomb. What did they do when they got there? The tomb was open. They went in and they saw the grave cloth. They wanted the truth that Jesus is resurrected. Maybe Thomas was also trying to find the truth. You know what Thomas is teaching us there? Be careful. There are some con men. You know what's a con man? I remember some time back, I was conned. This happened through scripture. Someone came to me, a young man. I gave him a lift in my car. We just traveled less than half a mile. He had already picked my telephone number. He remembered my name so well. And then he dropped out of my car. 2 days later, he phoned me. Oh, Brother Gilson, you know, we want to do a revival for young people. Are you going to help me? I only need about 3,000 Zimbabwean dollars. You know, I fall for the trip. I said, well, this guy is talking about Jesus and he wants to woo the young people to God. I fell for the trap. I gave the guy 3,000. And then the next thing, this guy was organizing a revival from nowhere. Even some other businessmen were also conned. They supplied the eats and the other one supplied the venue. And even one minister was also involved. He was conned as well. Because the name of Jesus was used. So we went there. And then the day I was promised that I was going to get my money back. Gone. Second day, gone. Then I smelled a rat. Something must be going on here. So I tried to phone this guy. He said, oh yeah, Brother Gilson, can you come and meet me? He mentioned a certain town where he was having his revival. So we went there thinking, we're going to get our money. Instead, we met a group of other people who had been conned as well. They were lining up trying to recoup their money, but they didn't get it. So John, in his writing about Thomas, is actually teaching us, you must always investigate even things of Jesus. Be careful. There might be some con men amongst those who believe in the name of the Lord. So, this is very important. Also, in the book of Acts, I want to read this story to you. I cannot just tell you from my mouth. Let's go to Acts 19 and you hear this story. I believe most of you know the story. Acts 19. Are we there? Right, let's go to chapter 13. Verse 13, sorry. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to evoke the name of the Lord, Jesus, over those who were demon possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. This is the best of the story. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and Paul I know about, but who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped out to them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. Sceva, seven sons. Not only a priest, a chief high priest had sons who were con men. So be careful. Thomas is actually teaching us, be careful, they are con men. So before we judge a book by its cover, we are limiting ourselves. Remove all limitations, because we have got to be careful even when we are doing the work of the Lord. In Samuel 1, 6:22, we also read of Eli's sons who were doing all sorts of things, not away from the worship house, around the temple. We hear they were involved in such horrible things that I cannot even repeat in front of you. But if you want to read, you can read about them. And you know what happened in the end? God killed them. So con men will be killed if they keep on kidding. Point number three. My third point I want to make is that Thomas has got a personal testimony. When Jesus asked Thomas to reach his hand out on his side, at that moment he told him to stop unbelieving and believe. He didn't say stop doubting, he said stop unbelieving and believe. Are you believing that Jesus is Lord this morning? Are you believing that Jesus died for you and rose again? Are you believing that Jesus is going to save you? Are you believing that Jesus is going to take you out of your troubles? Are you believing that Jesus is going to heal you? Are you believing that Jesus is going to give you peace if peace has been eluding you? Are you believing that Jesus is going to stop all those family squabbles that are in your family? Are you believing that Jesus is going to bring peace in your family? Are you going to believe that? Are you believing that Jesus is going to bring peace at your work? Yes, he will. Earlier on, he went and doors were bolted and closed. They opened because the Son of God was coming. Jesus is coming in your life, irrespective of what is happening. Jesus is coming. He's risen. He's a living God. Here is the testimony of Thomas. Thomas said to him, my Lord, my God. No other disciples is credited for saying these words. So what are you saying yourself as well? Are you saying Jesus is your Lord, is your God? If you can utter those words with your own mouth, you will be saved. Jesus is Lord. He is God. He can save us in whatever we do. Thomas shows great obedience to Christ. No other disciple was told these words by the Lord. When he was instructed to believe, that's exactly what he did. So this morning also, I want to repeat the words of Jesus. Stop unbelieving and believe. Remove all limitations and you'll be saved. After the testimony of Thomas, we have never read of anyone else who has said those words. So I want you to repeat Thomas' words. I want you to repeat Thomas' attitudes. I want you to be like Thomas and you remove all the limitations. Your God, your Lord, is listening. Because of what Thomas said to Jesus, you also, if you say those words today, you have shown your zeal for the Lord. Are you prepared to die for the Lord? Are you prepared to accept that the Lord died and rose again? If you were expecting the resurrection, so why are you now not believing? I gave you that demonstration of walking on that tiny rope on there. And you saw, Rennie said, he doesn't trust me. Samuel trusted me, but he wanted an ambulance. But if you've got faith in the Lord, Thomas is saying, stop unbelieving and believe. Rennie, stop unbelieving and believe and walk on that rope. So I hope with the same words of Thomas, you'll have peace in your life. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. The final thing is, be stronger and believe. Call Jesus your God and your Lord. John 20 verse 31 says this, but these were written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you'll have life by the power of his name. Only that, if you believe that Jesus is Lord, you'll have life. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, no shadow can rise. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you.